following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
When a nation faces a tragedy, as the United States did on September 11, 2001, how does the nation cope? How do we respond nationally and individually? And how do you work through the grief when you suddenly lose a loved one? There is hope for the future. You can find comfort and assurance. Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world.
This week, Richard Ames explores comfort in times of tragedy. And now, Richard Ames.
Warm greetings to you all. We all desire a secure, predictable, peaceful world. But when tragedy strikes, we awaken to new realities. The terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001 shocked us. We realized how vulnerable our society suddenly became. Some of us have also lost loved ones through tragic accidents, cancer, or violence. How do we cope with such loss? How should we respond? America responded to the terrorist attack with a united commitment to fight the evil on many fronts, from bombing targets in Afghanistan to freezing bank accounts linked to terrorist organizations. But what does the Bible say you can do when tragedy strikes? In what spiritual ways can you respond? How can you help? Those who have lost loved ones need comforting. They need hope. They need reassurance. If you have your Bible handy, turn to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. If you know someone who needs reassurance, give comfort. Let that person know you care. Give him or her a hug, a phone call. Provide their needs as you're able. You may even feel like grieving with someone in deep sorrow. Notice what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Church of God in Corinth. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 25. He wrote that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. We can identify with those who suffer because, most likely, we have suffered at one time or another in our own lives. We can empathize with the pain and with their loss. A widow or widower can find comfort and support of friends and family. You can help others by giving comfort in times of tragedy. As Paul wrote, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Often our tears demonstrate a deeper concern for our friends and the victims of tragedy. And if you personally need comfort, there's a greater power in heaven to give you that comfort. The Creator God, our Father in heaven, Himself gives comfort. Notice what the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. God's very name is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. When we share our sorrow with our Father in heaven, He gives comfort. Read the book of Psalms. Several of the Psalms express sorrow in prayer. You can pray using the Psalms. Read, for example, Psalm 39 and verse 12. David, a man after God's own heart, shared his intimate feelings in prayer. He cried out to God in Psalm 39, verse 12, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Do not be silent at my tears, for I am a stranger with you, a sojourner, as all my fathers were." In the next psalm, Psalm 40 and verse 1, David states, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry." God will hear your cry as well. Notice this encouraging promise in Psalm 126. Psalm 126, verse 5. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. When we're honest with our feelings, when we share those feelings with God in heaven, he promises to comfort us. Let's face it. Some of us struggle with the problem of evil in the world. We don't understand how an all-powerful God who is love can allow such evil in the world. God's long-term plan of salvation takes that all into account. But there is a real devil who is out to destroy all humanity, and he uses human instruments to perpetrate death and destruction. Satan the devil is out to thwart God's plan. But he has failed, and he will yet utterly fail. In Revelation, the 20th chapter, we find that Satan will be cast into the great abyss. At the beginning of the millennium, when Jesus Christ returns to establish the kingdom of God on earth, an angel imprisons the devil. Revelation 20 and verse 1. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal on him, so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. With Satan banished, there'll be peace and harmony on planet Earth under Christ's rulership. That's the good news, the gospel of the kingdom of God. In the meantime, humanity must understand the realities of life and death, the realities of good and evil, and the reality of cause and effect. Once humanity learns those deeper lessons through experience, pain, and suffering, we will ultimately choose to follow the only way to world peace, and that is the way of life taught by your Bible and by Jesus Christ. There is hope. There is hope in the coming kingdom of God, which will bring genuine and lasting world peace. That kingdom will bring reconciliation among nations and hope for eternal life. We look forward to tomorrow's world and lasting universal peace. But in today's world, our American society has often followed after the pleasures of this world. Certainly, most human beings follow after vanity, as the book of Ecclesiastes reveals. But when disaster strikes, we can be shaken from our world of entertainment to think more deeply about the realities of life. The United States generally felt secure until the terrorist attacks of September 11th. Congressmen and other public servants, as well as commentators, referred to the disaster as a wake-up call. One editorial by David Reif in the Los Angeles Times expressed it this way. The attack, quote, has exposed not just the fragility of our buildings and the weakness of our defenses, but also the mortality of our society. In this sense, the attacks are both a wake-up call and a reality check. Instead of the next big thing being some new technological innovation or medical breakthrough, the next big thing is likely to be fear. End of quote. My friends, we've been pointing out that our comfort and our courage must come from a relationship with the Creator God who has all the power in the universe. Certainly, this terrible wake-up call reveals our vulnerability to terrorism. Many nations around the world are now intensifying their security measures, and they're taking military action to prevent further acts of terrorism. But more importantly, this wake-up call should move us spiritually. Because we've been living immoral and selfish lives, we need to ask, are we willing to change our lifestyle? We need to ask, what is life all about? Why am I living? What is the ultimate destiny of human beings? And can we be saved? The answer lies in the Bible, and the answer gives us hope. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, is still alive, and He will save us. Turn in your Bible to Romans, the 5th chapter, verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Yes, He will save us from sin and eternal death. Jesus stated in John 11, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. There is hope in the resurrection of the dead. The Apostle Peter wrote this encouraging truth in 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. My friends, there is hope for those of us who have lost loved ones through death. They will be resurrected. Some may fear that their loved ones did not profess Christianity before their death and may be lost forever. Let me encourage you that there is hope for them. This is not the only day of salvation, as many teach. God purposely allows billions of humans to be blinded so that he may have mercy on them later on in the judgment. We have a free booklet that explains this awesome truth. It's called, Is This the Only Day of Salvation? This booklet shows you from the Bible that the white throne judgment revealed in Revelation 20, verses 11 and 12, will give spiritually blinded humans their first genuine opportunity for salvation. In the white throne judgment, the books will be opened. Billions of human beings will be given understanding of the Bible and divine truth for the first time in their lives. The book of life is also open to them. The Bible gives hope for the vast majority of those who never converted to Christianity. That may include your friends and relatives. This free booklet, Is This the Only Day of Salvation?, will help you in your study of the Bible, and it will give you genuine hope. So pick up the telephone right now and request your free copy. You can also order this booklet on our website at www.tomorrowsworld.org. And if you're not already a subscriber to our bi-monthly magazine, Tomorrow's World, we'll send you a free subscription. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the deeper meaning of life itself. Be sure to request Tomorrow's World magazine. There's no cost or obligation. And be sure to request your free copy, Is This the Only Day of Salvation?
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
In the first part of our program, we saw that when tragedy strikes, we can help others. We can encourage, serve, and comfort. And we also saw that God is the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. We can express our grief and we can share our tears as King David did in the book of Psalms. We can come before the throne of grace and prayer to receive the comfort and help we need. Turn in your Bible to Hebrews 4, verse 14. Here we learn just what our Savior is doing for us. He's our great high priest. He's our intercessor. Hebrews 4 and verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Our loving God is willing to give us mercy and grace in time of need. The tragedies that afflict our nation, our friends and family shock us. Then we're in great need for understanding, comfort, and peace. Go to the throne of grace and prayer. My friends, do you understand that your Savior, your great high priest, is at the right hand of God in heaven? He understands your pain and your grief. As we just read in Hebrews 4, verse 15, Jesus was in all points tempted as we are. He suffered for us, as the Apostle Peter stated in 1 Peter 2, verse 21. Our Savior can sympathize with our tragedies because He's been there. Yes, Jesus Christ does sympathize with our weakness. How do you cope with tragedies? Share your sorrow and pain before the throne of grace, and God will give you comfort. Pray with your whole heart. The Bible tells us that we need to seek God with all our heart. We need to be awake and alert spiritually. In emphasizing the Ten Commandments, the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 13 and verse 10, Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Then notice this. He urges us to a spiritual wake-up call. Verse 11. And do this, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. My friends, I believe that many of you may be seeking spiritual truth now, more than ever. Perhaps the terrorist attacks have awakened you spiritually. Many are seeking answers. For example, after September 11th, bookstores reported significantly increased sales in Bibles and Bible prophecy books. We urge you to take advantage of the free booklets and tapes we offer on this program. We want you to find the truth of God in your Bible. Be sure to call or write for our free booklet we mentioned earlier, Is This the Only Day of Salvation? You'll find genuine hope and comfort in the pages. Let's continue reading about our spiritual wake-up call in Romans 13. We read in verse 11, And do this, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Now verse 12, The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Yes, the Apostle Paul urges us to cast off the works of darkness. He's exhorting us to examine ourselves to see if we individually need to change. Are you willing to change your life? In the very gospel Jesus Christ preached, the good news of the kingdom of God, he preached this in Mark 1 and verse 15. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The very first admonition Jesus gave the world is repent. We saw in the last program that God will give us the gift of the Holy Spirit after repentance and baptism. Repentance and faith are the very beginning steps in an awesome and wonderful, comforting relationship with God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. That relationship will reveal God's love and His promises to those who seek Him and surrender to Him. One of my favorite promises is that of Ephesians 3 and verse 20, where Paul writes that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. As we've described in previous programs, God Almighty has all power in the universe. He's omnipotent, all-powerful, and He is love. Believe that He can bless you above all that you ask or think. He can even protect you in dangerous times. Bible prophecy is moving ahead, as our magazines and telecasts have demonstrated. You need to know what God has revealed in His timetable of future events leading up to His glorious kingdom. But many today do not have a clue as to the framework of prophecy. They're like the lady quoted in the New York Times last October 18th who said, quote, I think what happened was a wake-up call, but I'm still struggling to figure out what it all means, end of quote. Well, Bible prophecy helps explain what it means. God can accomplish His purpose even through tragic events. We need to respond to that wake-up call and claim God's awesome promises. We need to change our lives and follow the instructions of the Bible. Jesus gave us this admonition in Luke 21 and verse 33. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. God loves His children. He promises escape or protection for those who are watching and praying. We need to be more vigilant, more spiritually awake. We need to pray always, as Jesus said. Some of you may need help in learning to pray. Read the prayers expressed so emotionally in the Psalms. Psalm 91 is called the Psalm of Protection. The writer states his trust in God, Psalm 91 and verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. Certainly, we must do our part in providing security for our nation, our family, and others. But the psalmist gives this promise and encouragement. Verse 3, Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. Why does God promise this? Verse 9, Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Will you put your trust in God? Will you believe God's promises? You can be blessed through the trying times ahead, and you can comfort and help others through those trials and tribulations. And beyond the troubles ahead, your Bible reveals that Jesus Christ will return and set up His kingdom here on earth. He will rule all nations for 1,000 years. After that time, the Bible reveals a resurrection for those who never genuinely converted to Christianity. This is not a second chance. This is a first-time opportunity for those who are blinded to the truth. There is yet hope for many of those non-Christians who have died in tragedies. Their resurrection will take place in the White Throne Judgment described in Revelation, the 20th chapter. They will then have their first genuine opportunity for salvation through Christ. You can learn more about this awesome truth in our free booklet, Is This the Only Day of Salvation? The Bible gives hope for the vast majority of those who never converted to Christianity. That may include your friends and relatives. This free booklet, Is This the Only Day of Salvation?, will help you in your study of the Bible, and it will give you hope. So pick up the telephone right now and request your free copy. You can also order this booklet on our website at www.tomorrowsworld.org. Is This the Only Day of Salvation?
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
In the Olivet Prophecy recorded in Matthew, the 24th chapter, Jesus' disciples asked Him what would be the sign of His coming and the end of the age. Jesus outlined the turmoil and tribulation that would precede His second coming. So, my friends, we know that we'll face more trials and troubles in the future. How will we cope with them? The Bible shows us how. Let's summarize what we've discussed on this program. First of all, we need to give comfort to others in time of tragedy. We contribute to their physical, spiritual, and emotional needs. We pray for the victims and their families because we know our prayers can make a difference. The Apostle James wrote in James 5 and verse 16, Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I hope, my friends, that you have prayed for the victims of terrorist attacks and other tragedies. As James wrote, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Not only do we comfort others and pray for others, but we ourselves can find comfort and assurance from our Father in heaven, who is called the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. You find that in 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 3. We also find hope and assurance in the coming kingdom of God. Jesus Christ, as the Prince of Peace, will stop all terrorism and ensure peace and prosperity all over the world. The kingdom of God will rule on this earth. The scriptures further assure us that the spirit perpetrator behind the scenes, Satan the devil, will be cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. He will not be able to incite hate, evil, and terrorism. When disasters affect us, we can be motivated to think more deeply about the world, the future, and the meaning of life. We can seriously consider changing our own way of life and take the biblical admonition for a spiritual wake-up call. If we do, we can call on God, our Creator, in prayer. The book of Jeremiah gives us this promise, Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call on me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. This is the starting point for most of us. Here's an awesome promise. God calls on us to seek Him with all our heart. He promises He will give us hope. God will forgive us of all our sins through Jesus Christ. He'll redeem us after repentance and baptism. But we must first seek Him. The sponsor of this program, the Living Church of God, has ministers throughout the United States, Canada, and many other nations. If you would like counsel, tell the operator when you call to request your free literature at the end of the program. Or you can write to our regional offices listed in our bi-monthly magazine, Tomorrow's World. My friends, the truth is comforting. The truth of the Bible can comfort you in times of tragedy, especially as you seek an intimate relationship with your Savior. And there's hope even for the unsaved friends and relatives. They will be resurrected to have their first genuine opportunity for salvation. This takes place in what is called the Great White Throne Judgment. You need this inspiring, hope-filled information in our free booklet entitled, Is This the Only Day of Salvation? Be sure to request your free copy. Dr. Meredith and I will continue to share with you the exciting truths and revelations of the Bible. You can learn more about the awesome future the Creator God has planned for humanity in His soon coming kingdom. May God bless and comfort you as you seek Him and His way of life. Continue to pray for those in need and for those who mourn. May you continue to seek the truth through the pages of your Bible. And be sure to join us again next week, right here at this same time.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. We invite you to visit our webpage at tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program was produced by the Living Church of God.